read those two verses from the Living Bible. The Living Bible says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what your needs are. And don't forget to thank Him for His answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. Today we want to talk about, don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing. Father, we honor you, we praise you, and we thank you. We come, God, surrendering unto your will and your way. And it's our prayer, God, that nothing will be able to hinder what you want to do in your service with your people. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Amen. Many of us can't enjoy any day, not even to mention enjoying a holiday. Why? Because so many of us worry too much. Worry overtakes our lives. We become defined and governed by worry. When was the last time you were worry-free? I suggest to you there's a difference between being concerned and being worried. Overly concerned translates into worry. What is worry? The dictionary defines worry as to experience mental uneasiness or distress, feeling anxious or troubled by something. All worry usually does is adversely affect a person's sleep, health, and peace of mind, and causes a person to be depressed and to sometimes become dependent on medication that they have to take long after the problem no longer exists. Is anybody here that worried yourself to death about something that did not take place? You don't have to raise your hands. And I'm not by myself. Amen. You worried and worried over something that never really happened. Most of the time, worrying does not help our situation or the situation we're worrying about. It doesn't help the person. We worry and worry and worry. I remember either reading or hearing that studies have shown that most of the things that we worry and get distressed about never really happen. Ain't that something? But you feel, I don't know about you, I feel foolish. I stayed up a whole week worrying about something, and it never happened. I could have put that quality time somewhere else. I could have saved money on Tylenol, Excedrin. And I'm not trying to suggest you the answer to stop worrying is to not have any cares at all. There's folk like that, nothing bothers them. Be careful of those kind of people. They don't care about anything or anybody, don't care about nothing. No, that's not what we're talking about. Things happen in life. Serious things happen in life, and most times these things are out of our control, so to speak. What do we do with our concerns for these things before they turn into worry and stress? In reference to worry, the Apostle Paul would probably suggest to us today that we look at the title of today's message. Don't you worry about a thing. I would be more inclined to take Paul's advice because he has been through so much stuff already that he has some experience and has enough experience to give me some advice on the matter. See, I won't take advice from everybody. See, if you haven't been through anything, my Lord, what can you say? That's like a married couple going to a single person about their marriage. You get the picture, right? Amen. It's like going to a meat eater and you're a vegetarian, you know. It just doesn't work. As a matter of fact, Paul wrote Philippians while he was in jail in Rome. And this is called one of the prison epistles. And then to top it all off, Philippians is an epistle about joy and rejoicing. He's in jail and writing those in Macedonia Philippi about joy and rejoicing. My Bible commentary has this to say about the book of Philippians.
The word happiness evokes visions of unwrapping gifts on Christmas morning, strolling hand in hand with the one you love, being surprised on your birthday, responding with unbridled laughter to a comedian, or vacationing in an exotic locale. Everyone wants to be happy. We make chasing this elusive ideal a lifelong pursuit, spending money, collecting things, and searching for new experiences. But if happiness depends upon our circumstances, what happens when the toys rust, loved ones die, health deteriorates, money is stolen, and the party's over? Often happiness flees and despair sets in. In contrast to happiness stands joy. Running deeper and stronger, joy is the quiet, confident assurance of God's love and work in our lives that He will be there no matter what. Happiness depends on happenings, but joy depends on Christ. Philippians is Paul's joy letter. The church in that Macedonian city had been a great encouragement to Paul. The Philippian believers had enjoyed a very special relationship with him, so he wrote them a personal expression of his love and affection that had brought him great joy. Philippians is also a joyful book because it emphasizes the real joy of the Christian life. The concept of rejoicing or joy appears 16 times in this book. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, Philippians 4:4. In a life dedicated to serving Christ, Paul had faced excruciating poverty, listen, abundant wealth, and everything in between. He even wrote this joyful letter from prison. Whatever the circumstances, Paul had learned to be content, finding real joy as he focused all of his attention and energy on knowing Christ and obeying Him. That's the key, know Christ and obey Him. Otherwise, we get stuck in happiness, which depends on circumstances, and joy that depends on our relationship with Jesus Christ. Although Paul was writing from prison, joy is a dominant theme in this letter. The secret of his joy is grounded in his relationship with Christ. People today desperately want to be happy, but are tossed and turned by daily successes, failures, and inconveniences. Christians are to be joyful in every circumstance, even when things are going badly, even when we feel like complaining, even when no one else is joyful. Christ still reigns and we still know Him, so we can rejoice at all times. So this is a letter of joy. It looks as though Paul went through more you-know-what after he said yes to God than before. Anybody like that? After you said yes to God, more you-know-what broke out in your life than you ever dreamed or expected of, to the point you thought you made a wrong turn and you thought that church was played, that Jesus was some signal of your imagination or something. But see, when you get experience with Christ, you begin to say, when I look back over my life and think things over, when you get the calculator out, it begins to let you know that all that God has blessed you with far outweighs all the other mess that came in your life. And then when you get deep into God's word, we begin to find out that what He took me through, He had to take me through to get me through to the place where He wanted to bless me far beyond my wildest imagination. You heard in the altar prayer, in this life, you will have trials and tribulations, but be in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome. And Christ is saying, if I'm an overcomer and you belong to me and I give you what is mine, then you are in fact an overcomer. If we look at our scripture for today, Philippians 4, 6 and 7 and verse 6, Paul uses the word thanksgiving, which in the Greek means thanks, thankfulness, gratitude, or giving thanks. He used thanksgiving in a different way. I know when we say thanksgiving, man, I got some folk in here. I know what they're thinking about right now. If I start naming stuff, they might get up and leave because they got to go to McDonald's just to get a McRib or something, just to hold them over. But if I start naming what thanksgiving means to folk, starting with the food, let's look at these three points in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't worry. Number one, don't worry about anything. Number two, make your request known to God. Number one, don't worry about anything. Number two, make your request known to God. And number three, give thanks and have a spirit of expectation. Number one, don't worry about anything. Number two, make your request known to God. Number three, give thanks and have a spirit of expectation. Look at that, don't worry about anything. Look at verse 6. Be careful means be anxious, for nothing. Be anxious, don't worry about anything, because you belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to you, and whatever you're in need of, whatever concerns you, concerns Christ, and he's going to take care of you. That's where you have to have trust and confidence in your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't know him, then he may not know you. See, God's not good. He's not that Burger King kind of God. When you get hungry, you roll up to the window and order what you want. God wants relationship. Anybody ever been in a relationship? You don't see her or him until they need something? You don't really like that person like that. You be telling them, I don't see you until you need me. If you don't need me, I don't see you. We do God like that sometimes. Sometimes we go, God don't hear from us, doesn't see us until we're in a desperate situation and until we need something. But verse 6, Philippians 4, 6 is be careful, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. That's hard for us to get there because most of us are brought up worrying. We're supposed to worry. Football could say, my mama used to worry. That's why I worry. I took after my mama. Your mama worried too much. That's why she's sick. You know what I'm saying? No, stop. Don't worry. Don't worry. She's worried about you. That's what. No, no, that's a whole other message that's not on this paper. Don't worry about anything. Paul is trying to say, I've been through so much, and I still love God. I've been through so much, and I still know how to be content in him. I was almost killed and shipwrecked. Everything I went through. But I learned how to be a base and I learned how to abound. I don't worry about anything. My relationship with Jesus Christ lets me know I can tell him everything that's gone on in my life. And I can turn over at night, put my head on my pillow, so I have to have no box of Kleenex because I ain't crying no more. I'm going to get me some rest. I'm going to lay down and go to sleep. Please, I ain't going to worry about it. There's no sense of both of us being up all night. Does Psalm say he neither slumbers nor sleep? Now, if God going to stay up, why are you going to stay up too? Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious. That word is careful, is anxious. Don't be anxious about anything. But look at number 2. Make your request known to God. But in everything by prayer and supplication, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanks. Let your request be made known unto God. That's powerful. Whatever it is that's going on in your life, let God know. Let him know. Because if you really think about it, if you could have done something about it, it wouldn't be a problem. Think about that. Real simple. If you could have done something about it, it wouldn't be a problem. So Paul is trying to say, in everything by prayer and supplication, petition with thanksgiving. Give God thanks because of the opportunity to talk to somebody that loves you, that cares about you, that's going to bless you, that's going to keep you in the midst of it all. It took me a little while to begin to understand that when I'm involved in some trial or tribulation, that the enemy wanted to snuff me out. But the only reason why I'm still alive and still breathing and clothed in my right mind is because my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ took note of my petition and made sure he sent some angels to keep me in the midst of it all. Now, I wanted him to rush me out of it. He said, no, there's something I need you to learn. So you need to have patience and have faith in me that I'm not going to let that enemy overwhelm you. Make your request known to God. Make all your, everything that's going on in your life, tell God about it. With prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So number 1, don't worry about anything. If you're here today, you're worrying, and you belong to Jesus, you are trying to do Jesus' job for your life. Whatever you're worried about, don't worry about if you don't have enough food for Thanksgiving. Cross some of the folk off your list. Help yourself out. Or do the portion pack. Have pre-made dinners. Just have them right there on the table in a little foil pan or something. This is for you. This is for Johnny. This is for Susie. Amen. And when you say grace, I pray y'all be filled on the portion pack, you know. But we worry too much. We worry too much about But we don't have enough money for Christmas to buy this one, this, buy that one, that. I'll tell you one thing. If they're really your true friend, if they really do love you, you shouldn't have to be going out like that. Why do we have to show friends and family over and over how much we love them at Christmas? How about the other 364 days a year? How about all the stuff you do all year long for folks? That's like Christmas. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't let people wind you up in that stuff. You somewhere worry. And then January come, you worry how you going to pay the bill. I don't care if it's a Blue Friday or what. Black Friday, Blue Friday, Green Friday. Be careful. You want to sell me a television for $98 and you can get me in your store? What is it all about? But Paul is simply saying, be careful, anxious for nothing. Don't be worried about stuff. And don't make yourself worry. Some folks make themselves worry. Some people, if you're having a good day, I told you before, they say, oh, my God, I'm having a good day. What's going to happen? You ever see folks calling around trying to find something to worry about? You all, that's strange to me. You have a worry ministry. And it doesn't fit in this church. Amen. Some folks, got, if they have a good day, they want to be worried about something. Oh, my God, I ain't got nothing to worry about. They start calling all the kids. How y'all doing? Y'all doing all right over there? How you doing? You doing all right over there? Oh, my God, ain't nobody calling me. Oh, my God, ain't nothing happening. Oh. When you're in Christ Jesus, you ought to have a good day. You're entitled to a blessed day. And don't be like some folks. You get up in the morning and something don't go right, or you iron or something, you burn a hole in it. Don't get upset. Oh, I'm going to have a bad day. Do not. Say your entire day going to be bad. And don't read the horoscopes. The horoscopes, not horror, horror. I used to read those things, and whatever they said, I'm looking for. Today you should have a bad day. I used to go to work looking for a bad day. I'm looking for a bad day so bad I made it bad. It's mind over matter. Come on, help me with that. Look, when you take medicine, how does medicine know? If I take some medicine, I'm telling myself that, you know, this medicine going to work. I start feeling better. Soon as I take that medicine. And see, when you go to the doctor, you start feeling better because you're scared of what they might tell you. You can sit in the doctor's office so long that what you thought was wrong ain't wrong no more. I sat there so long when they said, where it hurt, I said, the heck if I remember. I'm so mad at y'all got me. Never mind. That's another message. Let me get back on. So number one, don't worry about anything. Number two, make your request known to God. Number three, give thanks and have a spirit of expectation. Why? Because of verse 7. Because once you let God know what's going on, and you let him know with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, perfect peace, shalom, shalom, and the peace of God, not as the world gives, saith the Lord, but the peace that I give you, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's powerful. If I can let Jesus know, you know the hymn writer said, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. That's what he's talking about. I got to let Jesus. I need to let somebody know they can do something about it. See, when my car starts acting up, I don't call Sears, the TV repairman. I got to call the specialist who specializes in what my problem is. And since I got so many problems, I got to call Jesus, who specializes in all kinds of situations and problems. But it's based on my relationship. You know, there's a lot of songs and stuff about worrying and stuff. Brother Dennis, can you get that song ready for me? Stevie Wonder had a song titled, Don't You Worry About a Thing. I want y'all to listen to it, because after you listen to it, I'm going to ask y'all a question. Just listen to it. Listen to this song, Don't You Worry About a Thing. Help me out, Brother Dennis. Nice song. Why did Pastor pick on Stevie? Because I figured he would not be in service today. I said, Stevie probably won't come today, so I'll pick on Stevie. But he said, don't you worry about a thing. But he didn't tell me what to do with my worries. Great song, but really don't help a brother out or a sister. And then there was Bobby McFerrin. He had a song talking about, don't worry, be happy. It goes like this. Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. I read those first two lines and he's so corny. But he made a lot of money off this thing. It was made for a movie, the movie called Cocktails. In every life we have some trouble. When you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. I said, hold up, hold up, hold up, hold up. Because if somebody took my bed, somebody else gonna be worrying. Hey, glory. Hallelujah. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy. The landlord say your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry, be happy. Good, you know, catchy little songs. But they don't help a brother or a sister out because they don't tell me what to do with my worry. They simply say, don't worry, be happy. Stevie said, don't worry about a thing. And they ain't sent me a dime yet. Not that I asked him. So if I had to make a decision today, I would go back to what the Apostle Paul said about worry. Because he provided me with clear instructions as to what to do with my worries. Now, I must be fair. Stevie Wonder didn't write that song based on Philippians 4. I don't think so. And I don't think Bobby McFerrin wrote his song based on Philippians. So when I'm looking for information for my spirit, I need to go to the spiritual reservoir of life. So I would take what Paul says. Paul says, be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's why you can smile when you're going through something. That's why you can go to work, but all you know what seems to be breaking loose in your life. God gives you a peace that passes all human understanding. Folk think you're crazy and you're just focused. Folks think you lost your mind and you just leaning and depending on Jesus. They don't understand it because the natural man and the natural woman receive not the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. But I tell you, I was watching the basketball game the other night and the 76ers was playing the Milwaukee Bucks. And my wife went upstairs. She's supposed to be doing homework. My wife went upstairs. She's supposed to do her homework. She's upstairs supposedly doing her homework. And I turned downstairs to Shark Tank because I had done my homework. Okay. All right. Both of us in school. So I turned to Shark Tank. So I said, they like they're going to lose this game. I'm going to turn to Shark Tank. Then I heard my wife upstairs who's supposed to be doing her homework. I heard her shout like, yeah, woo, yes. Then I heard somebody, Doug, did you see that? I said, no, I got on Shark Tank. So I got the remote. And they played it over. They see, the Sixers had played a good game against the Bucks. Actually, at several points in the game, the Sixers had the lead. With seconds left in the game, the Bucks were leading and about ready to win. But Spencer Hall made a buzzer-beater three-pointer that sent the game into overtime. Somebody saying, Pastor, I went crazy. He played a song by Stevie Wonder. He talked about Bobby McFerrin. Now he's talking about the Sixers. He started out in Philippians, and now he's meddling. Y'all just pray for Pastor, because we're going somewhere with this. The Sixers won the game in overtime. So after the game, one of the sportscasters interviewed Spencer Hall since he had a really good game and sent the game into overtime, creating the opportunity for the Sixers to get the win. But the sportscaster said to Spencer Hall, because there was another person on the Sixers team who had a really good game, she said to him, how about your teammate, Evan Turner? Spencer Hall replied, what can I say? He's our playmaker. He makes things happen for us. When we went down the floor, we had our offense set up and Milwaukee had the defense set up. And we were worried, worried, as to whether or not we were going to win the game. And then Spencer Hall said something, and right then and there I had a revelation. Spencer Hall says, Evan Turner is our go-to person. I just stopped by today to let somebody know you got a go-to person, and his name is Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of God, the Lily of the Valley, the Bright and Morning Star. You got a go-to person when things get tight and you're trying to get past the buzzer beater, when you got time to win the game, when everything else is all blocked up, when they got everybody else covered. You got a go-to person, and his name is Jesus Christ. I said, if the sick has got a go-to person, then I got a go-to. Don't you worry about a thing. You coming down the court and all trials and tribulations got you covered. You throw the ball to your go-to person. I got a go-to person. You got a go-to person. And his name is Jesus Christ. I said, how are they going to have a go-to person and I don't have a go-to person? In the game of life, you got a go-to person. You ought to go to them. All you got to do is be able to have faith. One time they threw the ball to Evan Turner. I don't think they could even see him. They just threw it. You ain't got to see Jesus. Just throw it to him. But Pastor, you don't understand the game of basketball. They had Jesus covered. No, he got you covered. Can't nobody cover somebody all over the court. Omnipresent. Paul's just trying to let you and I know we have a go-to person. And he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. And John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He is our go-to person. If you got Jesus, you got everything you need. I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, don't you worry about a thing. And I can tell you, don't worry, be happy. Not based on a song, but based on the word of God that will not return unto him void. I have a go-to person, and I came today to invite you to invite the go-to person into your life. And his name is Jesus Christ. Don't you worry about a thing. I got a go-to person. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. And this word everything in Scripture is not tied together. It's two words. In everything. That means everything. Even the stuff that you and I think we can handle because we've grown up now. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But you have to go to the go-to person. I don't mind you coming to me and my wife as your pastors. That's cool. But I tell you, we're going to take what you give us and we're going to go to the go-to. There ain't no secret, is there? But sometimes if the church is closed, sometimes if you call our house and get our tape with Delaney's voice on there, but she's about 5 years old. And sometimes you can't get in touch with us. Go to the go-to person for yourself. He will hear your voice. He will answer your prayer. Do you have a go-to person today? And if you do, it's his name, Jesus Christ. Let us stand all over God's house. Don't you worry about a thing. THANG. Hey.